be as much in His presence as possible. Amen. Let's all pray for the opening of our service. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. God, we pray that You would bless each one that's here today, Lord. God, that You would touch them, Lord, for whatever need they may have, Lord, whether spiritual, physical, Lord, or financial even, Lord. We pray, God, that You would touch us today. Open up our minds and our hearts, Lord, that we might receive, Lord, that which You have for us. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You. Praise the Lord. You can be seated if you wish, but I'm warning you, you'll probably stand up anyway. Okay. Have you ever used the phrase, been really frustrated, and your work is at least done to a point that you can leave the premises and you say, I am so out of here. Have you ever said that? I am so out of here. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to the day that I can look at this world and I can say without reservation, yes, you know, maybe I haven't done all I could do, but you know what, Lord? I want to be so out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's how I feel whenever I see the news. I'm going to quote three scriptures, but they're not three that are together in the Bible. But if I were putting together scriptures, this is the way I would put them together. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing,
yes,
of the great God.
Hallelujah.
And Savior,
yes,
Jesus Christ,
yes,
who in His time, different place, who in His time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate,
yes,
King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes.
Even so, come quickly. Lord Jesus. Jesus.
Yes.
Woo. I want to say that to my Lord.
Oh,
let's start with a verse. First verse is going to be slow.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll
Amen. Can we raise our hands to Him right now? Lord, we glorify You today. We thank You, Lord. God Almighty, hallelujah. Lord, Thou art but one God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord as we remain standing. Amen. We find our lesson text in the book of Samuel today. And let's start with Samuel, 1 Samuel 8. We're going to read through verse 10 through 20. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him a king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons, appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and he will and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young man and your asses and put them down to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants." Verse 18, "And he shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.'" Amen. You may be seated. Amen. As you read through this, you can definitely see where God knew exactly what he was talking about. You can look at the political situation today and the people that we have in there. Well, guess what? We put them there. It was our choice. Well, you say it wasn't mine for that Democratic mess, but it was some of the choices. And we made an agreement years back, we'll go by the majority. Amen. That was our choice. And these people that we get in there, well, guess what? You're going to have to deal with them, because God said, "I'm not going to hear you when you cry out when they begin to put all these things upon you." Guess what? It was your choice. We have the power of choice. But you know what? There's also a law of reaping. We reap what we sow, don't we? Amen. I was past 27 years old, and I was following my own plan. I was following my heart. You ever hear the saying that just follow your heart and you can't go wrong? I'm afraid I got bad news for you today. Amen. This heart will lead you in many directions. Amen. There's a spirit within us. Amen. There's a little bit of portion of faith. Amen. That will draw us to God. But guess what? The choice is yours. You have to make that choice. Amen. And when we make it, we got to reap it. Amen. I didn't make the choice not to be raised up in church. My dad made that choice. But it didn't make any difference. I had to reap it. Amen. A lot of times we try to blame things on man. We say, "Well, did you see what he did? Or did you see that church?" There's some people in that church that are hypocrites. It doesn't matter. You still got to do what God says. And all the time since I've been coming up in church, that's the main thing that people would use in order to say, well, to turn around and go back. They look at other people. And you can't do that. This is how Israel got into the mess that it's in. It looked at the people that failed. And we'll get into some of that, but I'm going to go back a little ways into the scripture and let you know how Israel got where they're at. Amen. Now, the first 500 years after the Exodus, amen, it was a system of government, was that of a theocracy. It was a kingdom of priests, and judges. They ruled Israel through the conquest of the promised land. This is what God told them to do. That was God's choice. Amen. But as would have it, man just can't seem to get things right. They can't get away from this heart that they got in here. And a lot of people, they follow that heart as their excuse for everything. They reason within themselves. They say, this is what I need to do. Amen. And they say, the word of God says, well, I don't believe that. That's his choice. But he has to reap that choice. I don't care how he come about that choice. He's still going to reap that choice. I could say, well, my parents didn't raise me up into this thing, so therefore I didn't know. I made a choice to go their way. Because everybody knows about Jesus Christ. You can't tell me they don't. Everybody has heard about Jesus Christ. But what are they going to do with it? Now, I come up here today and I teach you these things, but you know what? You're supposed to go back to your houses and examine the scripture, see if the things I say be the truth. That's what the Bible tells us. But anyway, during that 500 years, the priesthood deteriorated into a state of selfishness and greed. It was so bad, the last priest, Eli, God slew the sons of Eli. Because they degraded the temple and God's things to the point, amen, that God slew them. They were doing immoral things right at the doors of the temple. Amen. And they were taking the things that was offered up to God as a holy sacrifice, and they was taking them and using them for their own use, for their own gain. And you can find out today, see, man don't change much. We say, well, they don't do that today. Yes, they do. The same thing goes on today as it did back then, except it may be probably worse. But we still got to follow the things that God says do. 1 Samuel 2 and 12 says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. You think, how could that be possible, such a mighty priest as Eli? And some of the things they saw back then, but you know, they didn't see those things every day. See, we read them in here and we get through four or five chapters and we're thrown, wow. But that might have been over 100, 200 years. Amen. We can't go by what we see. That's not faith at all. We go by what we don't see. Heard someone say, now the things that you see are not real. The things that you don't see is what's real because they're eternal. These things are just here. They're just temporary. There's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth. If I said I could explain that to you, I'd be lying to you. God's ways are above our ways, even though the heavens is from the earth. I don't understand God. I don't understand why he had to roll himself in flesh and come down and dwell among us and die upon a cross. But he did. But then the Lord raised up a prophet because of the priests and the things that they were doing, how they had degraded the temple to the point that God raised up a prophet by the name of Samuel. That was going to be the word of God. That was God's choice too. But you know, history repeats itself. Samuel's sons did evil too. You know, they probably told old Samuel, said, you know, you're just a bunch of old fogyism, you know. Oh, these things, we don't got to do these things. That's just old stuff. Hey, amen. You guys just wasn't with it. We're with it today. 1 Samuel 8 and 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. But you know, God put all of these things in here for what? For our examples, isn't it? He put these things in here for the things for us to go by. You know what? They're warnings. Our Bible, you know what? It's a compass. Amen. He'll point one way all the time. There's only one way. He'll point that way all the time. Amen. You may move this way or that way, but the needle stays the same. May move over this way, but the needle stays the same. See, God's word doesn't change. Man does the changing. Now, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition or our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Just keep that in mind as we go through this lesson. Amen. These things are put there for a purpose, for our examples. Now, some people, now, I don't know if this is true. I just go by what I hear in some cases, but some Catholics have told me that their priests tell them, don't read the Bible. You look into this word and you see how much man has failed, and now you're going to tell me I got to listen to you? But that's what Israel wanted. These men had failed Israel, so what did they ask for? Another man. We never learn. We never learn. But our focus thought is that though it's easy to get caught up in our own plans, we must submit to God's plans, which is always better. Now, the Bible says the flesh is enmity against God. So it's hard for the flesh to come up and to get into this word. Amen. How many times have some of you read a whole chapter and just shook your head and didn't even realize what you read? It's the flesh. The flesh is a problem. What did Paul say? He says, there's no good thing that dwelleth within me. That is in my flesh. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of sin but our Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified? But Samuel, he went against this thing that Israel wanted to do. Verse 19 in 1 Samuel 8 and 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. You know what they wanted? They wanted an idol that they could relate to. See, we don't understand God. Well, but he gave us a compass to go by. And he knew that. But we want somebody we can relate to. My brother said he'd talked to someone that he hadn't seen in years, way back when we were kids, and the person said, finally, someone I can relate to. You know, the idols, it's just stone and wood and precious metal. But who put that idol together? The heart of man. And what did he want? He wanted an idol he could relate to. So he built him one. And all of these idols was gross immorality. You know why? Because the heart is. Anyway, verse 20, 1 Samuel 8 and 20, that we also may be like all the nations that are kings, or our king may judge us and go before us and fight our battles. Amen. It's a terrible situation some of these kings has gotten us into. Now, people today, they say, well, Trump's going to get us out of it. And the Democrats said, no, we need more government to get us out of it. But nobody said, oh, we need God to get us out of it. But that's all it's going to do. But Israel took their decision of the road they was to take would reap destruction. They wanted a king. Guess what? Those kings led them into captivity. Led them into captivity to never be the same again. It was the kings. But you know what God said? They probably prayed, God, help us. Get rid of this king. Get rid of this king. He said, no, that was your choice. So they had to reap it. Sometimes we get ourselves into situations that, and you know who we first thing we're going to say is, I can't believe God let that happen. You know who let it happen? You did. You ever make a decision, you said, I wish I could go back to that day. Amen. But they made their decision. And God wasn't going to hear them. We have the power of choice. And we have examples in the Word of God that we are to go by. Now listen, they made these idols by their heart, what was in their heart. And when we start making statements about things that go against what God's word, you're in idolatry because you're in self-serving. If we go against God's words, it's self-serving. You've made a God of yourself. And that's where idolatry comes from. Oh, we're not no idols today. We don't bow down to nothing. We'll get there. But they'll cry out and God won't hear. Sometimes you start down a road that's impossible to turn back. Billy remembers the time we went to the Redwood Forest. We come through this guard shack and he directed me to go this way. And I read a sign saying there are large vehicles. I thought he talked about semis or something. We took that road. And it was just barely wide enough. We're going up the mountains. And Billy said, Dad, the only thing I can see is the cliffs below when I look out the driver's side window. The passenger side window. He said, all I can see is cliffs. He said, slow down, slow down. We wanted to turn back real bad. But how are you going to turn back on a road like that? That's what we do in life. We get down, we get ourselves in some places that we can't turn back. At least, not in our own power. But God knew that. We started down a road in Adam and Eve. They started down a road and Eve was deceived by the serpent. Amen. It caused her to be lost for eternity. It brought sin into the garden through the serpent. Now Adam, the Bible says, wasn't deceived. Then why did he come in? He came in as a type of Christ to save Eve. That's what a lot of people believe. If you don't believe that, tell me why he came in if he wasn't deceived. The Bible says he was a type of Christ. 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression, an act which brought death. And in Romans 5:12, you can read it up here if they put it up here, but I've got down some of my own words. Now, Adam was a type of Christ. If you read 12-17, I don't have time. His decision put us all in sin. Not Eve. The Bible don't say anything about Eve. It says Adam. For by one man's sin, we all are transgressors. We should have said one woman's. You're married, we always get to blame, right? But righteous, or by one's righteousness are we made righteousness. Amen. We are made righteous by one who is made unrighteous by one. But God had a plan. Amen. God had a plan for the children of Israel, but they went against God's plan. They didn't reject Samuel. They rejected God. They rejected his plan that God had for him. Amen. You know, we like to think that we don't have to be responsible for ourselves. Sometimes people will use to say, well, Jesus is a friend of the sinner. Where did Jesus say that? The Pharisees said, Jesus is a friend of sinners. You know why they said that? Because they didn't think they were sinners. They thought the rest of them was. So, oh, he's a friend of the sinners. But guess what? The 12 that followed Jesus, they were sinners too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's this flesh that is our constant battle. What choice do I make? Which way do I go, you know? I came into the church after I was 27 years old. I wasn't raised up in church. But I knew. I got bits and pieces. I had an uncle and aunt that was Pentecostal people. They lived in Michigan. I didn't see them that often. But my dad believed in God enough, he said grace at the table until we got a television. That took care of that. We didn't even eat at the table no more. Amen. But that's what's happening. They said, well, God is my friend. God loves me. He's not going to do nothing to me. I don't have to do these things. God is my friend. Jesus is my friend. I made a statement one time, and I think I really offended someone because I didn't really teach it out. I said, Jesus ain't your friend. He's your God. That's true. But Jesus said he will be your friend. He said, my friends keep my commandment. And we have to get in on God's plan. See, we want to stay out there and make our own plan. We want to make statements that goes against God's word because, oh, God won't hold us accountable. After all, God is a God of love. And he is. But God has a plan that we can't even comprehend. All we can do is go according to God's word. That's his roadmap. That's our compass. That's the thing that he has given us. We say, well, I wish I had Malachi or Micah or Isaiah or some of them. I'd really believe. Well, you got them in the book. God's not going to come down and dance for you. Amen. He's already given us what we need. 1 Timothy 6 and 20 says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition of science, falsely so-called. In other words, knowledge, falsely so-called. Now, if you look into this scripture here and you find vain babblings, what's it talking about? Well, in the Greek, I went and found the definition of it. It's unfruitful. It's fruitless as far as the satisfaction of man's need of salvation and the molding of the Christian life. Now, see, you can't tell if I've accepted Jesus Christ or not. And that's what people want you to do. I got a right to say I'm saved. That's my business. But God wants to mold your Christian life too. Amen. If we get to look like the world, I used to say if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it probably is a duck. But that's people. Now, we've had this thing for thousands of years, and we always come back to the same place. Always. People say, well, we're in the modern age. Well, that's not a solution. That's the problem. Verse 21, 1 Timothy 6 and 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now you can err concerning this faith, and all you got to do is go against what's in the word. Then you err. Now some of you like the NIV. I won't read it unless I read the King James Version first. Now NIV for 1 Timothy 6 and 20 says, Timothy, guard what has been entrusted in your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideals of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. That's just what it says. Hey, amen. We want to take God's word and you've got to. You say, well, that's all talking about salvation. Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. You're not even in the plan until you come by the way of salvation. Amen. That's the first plan of God. That's our beginning. Why wouldn't we want to make sure that we get that right? Because if you don't have that right, nothing else matters to me. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. After all, we all serve the same God. We just all go a different road. That compass goes straight. You can't move it. That's a type of God. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. But I fear, at least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his stability, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Serpent, you know, devil's tricks don't change none. But we fall for it every time. You ever get a joke, you somebody tell you something, I just don't get it. And they tell it to you again, you say, I just don't get it. Everybody else is laughing but you. That's what it seems like, you know, whenever we into the things of God, people just don't seem to get it. And they think what they understand, what they know. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, well, I'm as good as that guy that goes to church. I've seen him. I'm as good as he is. Well, the difference is he may be repented and you ain't. That's what I told a guy one time. He said, I live a pretty good life. I said, it don't make any difference. I said, I don't care how good a life you're in. You're still a sinner, born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He said, oh, you mean I got to go do that little repent thing? I said, yep, that's what you got to do. As little as you may think it is, that's what you got to do. But these things are written for our admonition, for our warnings. Now, if you want to just take two or three verses and say, you'll go by that, remember, that's your decision. But God wants us to go into all of it. Amen. He wants us to take it all, amen, and study his word. Some folks, they'll take what someone says, and they'll go by that. They'll just close their eyes and go by that. You know, if I did that, I never would have been where I am today. I never would have got baptized in Jesus' name. But when someone told me, you know what I did? I went back and looked in the book. And guess what? It said exactly what that guy was telling me. And then I found out, how did they really baptize? I mean, I know we talk a lot about baptism, but I won't stay on too long. All of you know what I'm talking about anyway, so I won't bore you with it. Amen, but it's important. Amen. We know the 325 AD that they changed all of that. And what did they do? They left the simplicity that was in Christ. Amen. They left the simplicity that was in Christ. And when 325 AD, when they changed all of those things, you know what we got a world of now? Confused people. They're all confused. Well, look at all them churches. How can they all be wrong? Well, I'll take you back to the 10 tribes of Israel. They went the wrong direction and worshiped two golden calves as the first king of Israel, right after Solomon. Amen. When the 10 tribes were separated from the other two tribes in Jerusalem, they were supposed to worship in Jerusalem. They built some golden calves, and they went and worshiped those golden calves. And you know what God said at the end of every one of them? They did evil in the sight of God. Why did they do evil? Because they wouldn't change their way of worship. And how long did it take them to change? They ain't changed yet. They didn't change through the whole Bible, and they ain't changed yet. That's how you can get caught up in tradition. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, another king, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted. And then it says here that confused me a little bit. It said, you might well bear with him. What it's really saying there is that we tolerate it. It says you tolerate it. You know it's a lie and you still tolerate it. I had my first Trinity pastor come and say, he said, look, I sit in the Word of God, but till God shows me, I ain't going to do it. Well, my goodness, you got how many chapters in this Bible? That all points to that. Amen. So, but you know, that was his choice, and he stayed with it. If you think God's going to come down and dance for you and show you something different that's in the Word of God, you're going to be looking for a long time. Amen. But we'll always point out our flaws. People are looking at man. They pointed to Samuel's family. They pointed to Eli's family as their excuse. They point to the church people as their excuse. They say the church is full of hypocrites. Guess what? The world's full of hypocrites too. But we're just trying to overcome. Amen. I wasn't made perfect when I walked through those doors. But I do know this. This has become one of my favorite scriptures. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thought that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, this scripture came up when Israel was going into captivity. We go through a lot of struggles. We go through a lot of trials and things, and you question yourself. You question the things that are in God's Word. You say, well, that just don't make no sense. Well, I believe we can do it this way. Well, you know how I'm going to try to do it? I'm going to try to do it the Bible way. Amen. I know I'm going to mess up, trip and fall all along the way. But that's when we study to show ourselves approved as a workman unto God, being not ashamed. Amen. Well, we find in many places in the Bible for the things just keep coming up and coming up that in our everyday lives. I've had people point at me as imperfect. And I never did think I was. I guess they did. I must have been doing all right. Anyway, Acts 17:11 says they received the word with all readiness of mind. That's how we need to be. And search the scripture daily whether those things were so. You know, I've had a lot of men that I've had some confidence in. But not enough confidence where I won't check out what they say. I mean, we can believe everything Trump says, right? He may be getting the job done, but you know, he wouldn't be my choice as a pastor, I'll tell you that. But anyway, here we are in 1 Samuel 7, just a chapter before they wanted a new king. 1 Samuel 7:3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do turn unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Well, you know what? They did, and he did. They delivered him out of the hands of the Philistines. But God says, get rid of the strange gods. Well, you say, what are strange gods? You know what? Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's how they come up with this idol. They made him out of the abundance of their own heart. And they put all the characteristics that he had in him, or soul. They say they put him in him. He wasn't nothing. The Bible says he was nothing. It was stone and wood and precious metal. That's all it is. It can't see, it can't speak, can't do anything. But yet they bowed down what they was wanting, a God they can relate to. And that's where the world's going today. They want a God they can relate to. Jesus is my friend. He's a friend of sinners. The Bible says so. And sometimes they get a false security. In Colossians 3:5, therefore consider the members of your earth. I'm reading the NIV before I do the. Okay. In the King James Version, Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, which is excessive lust, evil concupiscences, sexual passion, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know what? They took all of those things there and made them a God that is God of these things. They put these characteristics on that God and said, this is a God, this is our idol. Amen. He's just like me. You know, wow. That's what I've been looking for a long time. But that is what they do when you, a lot of time we'll go to the ways of the flesh. And this is not God's plan. You may go that, but if you're not looking into the Word of God, remember, it's your decision. That's what we'll go by. Jeremiah 16:11. Jeremiah is saying to the Israelites, then shall thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and worshiped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. Now, you say, well, that was back in the old time. They worshiped in idols. But look what Jeremiah says in 16:12. And he says, and you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, you walk every one after their imaginations of his evil heart, that they might not hearken unto me. There's where the whole problem is, in their evil heart. It's not that idol. It's got no strength. It can't speak. It can't see. They put the characteristics into that idol out of their own heart. That's why he said, you was worse than the ones that served these other gods. Amen. You walked as the in imaginations of your evil heart. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. That's what we need to do. And that ain't easy. That's where you get new people in the church. I understand you got to be patient with them. Man, I come into the church. I was really, really dumb. I mean, I was really, really dumb. But you know, I was hungry. I mean, I had all but died out there. And I was ready for a new life. I was ready for a life given over to God. Verse 2, Colossians 3:2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, a lot of the strange gods that we have to deal with, and here's some, and some people need to learn how to control these things. If you make your principal purpose in life to acquire as much money as possible, that's your principal purpose. That's your purpose in life. To be famous as possible, to indulge in pleasure without restraint, or anything that puts God second in your life. That's strange God. That's a strange God that God is talking about. But here's what we need to leave off, and I'll be done. Matthew 16:26. What does it profit a man? We all know that verse. We can quote it. If he gain the whole world and lose his soul, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jeremiah 21:8. And unto the people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Ain't no time for people to panic. It's just that start getting our priorities correct. And I got to live. I ain't gonna stop eating. And if I don't bring money in, guess what? You'll stop eating. So it's not that. Don't make that your principal purpose. Amen. Somehow, I went down and visited a friend of mine that I grew up with, and I really felt I was kind of tucked back by him because of what he had accomplished. I mean, I was jealous. He's worth about $2 million. I'm worth about 2,000. So what? No, I said, you know, but all that time he said he didn't have time for church. Every day, he never even took a vacation. He's 74 years old, never been out of the state of Missouri and Arkansas. So see, that's what it's talking about. And I'm not at all putting him down. I respect him highly. But now he's slowed down, and now he started to church. But wouldn't it have been much better if he'd put that right, mixed that right in? I think he would have been a much, much happier person. And his children would have been happier. Amen. Because you seek all the world you can get, guess what? Most likely, sometimes your children are too. God bless you. I hope I helped you some today. Amen. This is our time that we have our prayer, and if you got to have water or whatever you got to do. But anyway, God's got a better plan, don't he?